Welcome to Conversations Around Conversations about the conversations we just had on the Clubhouse app earlier today. Hello, I'm Jess, CEO and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. And I just saluted you, but you could not see that because this is a podcast.
And I'm Joe, recipient of salutes and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. This is Tech Theater, Clubhouse Conversations. It's a podcast to continue that conversation because every week on Clubhouse, 12:55 Eastern, if you want to come join us, we have these really awesome discussions with super brilliant people who sit at the intersection of tech and theater.
Tuesdays at 12:55 Eastern, probably worth mentioning. We always walk away from these Clubhouse talks with so many thoughts, and so we decided to share those and reach even more of our friends and collaborators with this here podcast. And so with that, welcome to Tech Theater Tuesdays. This week on Clubhouse, we talked about the Tony Awards, of course. It was all Tonys, all hour. They aired this past Sunday, split apart two platforms, which keeps making me want to quote Romeo and Juliet. I'm not going to subject you to that, but two platforms, two shows. So we, of course, discussed the sort of half streaming, half live broadcast format. We discussed the performances and whether they were live or pre-recorded and how those sort of like evolutions and changes in the Tony Awards, how a new generation, I suppose, experiences this sort of moment for theater. And we also talked about the specific controversy around Slave Play. It got many, many nominations, but zero wins. And I think across all of this, we did a lot of talking about like how divisive everything was about this year's Tonys. And Joe, you were crazy quiet today. I did not call you out during Clubhouse.
I appreciated that.
But mostly because I was saving it for right now. So you are definitely driving this boat today. Where are we going to start? Where do you want it to start?
In the hot seat. Tonys. Tonys, as you know, longtime listeners will be aware, not a thing that I watched much in the past or thought about much until, like, you know, this season and this cycle.
Have you ever watched it?
Never once.
What?
I know. Like, I think before we became friends with the Waldorf and I learned that the first ever Tonys were held at the Waldorf Astoria, a fact that did not come up today on Clubhouse, surprised. I don't think I thought much about the Tonys until that moment or like really,
oh my gosh,
like imagined what they were. You know, I knew like, oh yeah, it became more expensive to go see Hadestown or harder to get tickets because it won a zillion Tonys, you know,
and it's the important stuff.
Yeah. So it became like a rubber stamp of ways, but like, that's the most I thought about it as like a status.
Interesting.
As opposed to like, oh yeah, of course it's an actual event and a show and a performance in its own right. And there's lots of time, energy, human peoples putting it together. And so I was curious and I did a whole bunch of reading. Thank you, Lucy, for the heads up on articles. I cheated today on Clubhouse, like most weeks.
Shh, don't tell.
Don't tell. And I was like super interested in the first ever sort of dual broadcast as it was presented. And I still don't have a good sense for it. Like, I actually wish I had tried to play around with like, oh, here's the one coming through NBC. Here's the one coming through Paramount Plus. I heard there were some difficulties that people were having getting onto the Paramount Plus stream and the functionality of it. If you joined late, you couldn't get in. If you joined late, you couldn't scrub backward.
It was also CBS, not NBC.
Excuse me, CBS. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, what did we learn from this experience and this breaking of the two broadcasts? And it made me start thinking about the way that you've talked about the work that we do and our comparisons to the sports balls, you know, specifically football broadcasts. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your in-stadium experience. That's people watching the game live and in person. But then you also have the broadcast going out to, you know, whoever's carrying it on television. And that is its whole own experience that's programmed and created and designed specifically to be consumed through a screen. Mm-hmm. And when I first was reading about sort of this dual experience, I kind of imagined it that way, like one performance sort of split and handled for two different groups via two different sort of screens or two different ways of consuming. You know, in this case, it was like live stream or a digital stream versus like television, which isn't too far from, like, they're kind of similar enough compared to the in-person sports analogy. But then as I learned more about, oh, like they were actually programmed differently.
Totally separate.
Different content.
No efficiencies.
Yeah, no overlapping of the two. And I was like, the hell, why didn't they do it this way? Like, it seemed so, like, so much more difficult than it needed to be. And I'm sure that there were many layers of, like, content rights and who can and can't do what. And the fact that, like, yeah, CBS and Paramount Plus, like, can't have the same thing at the same time for whatever reason. I have no idea. But I, like, was a little disappointed to be like, oh, it's just, like, two separate things and not as comparable to what we do and how we think and the value we think of that and the sort of prototype that the sports teams have built up that works well, obviously. I was like, what the heck were these dum-dums thinking?
It feels pretty par for the course sometimes around here with Theater World, right?
Yeah. and like, one part of me was like, oh, this is great. They're, you know, innovating and experimenting with other things. But it doesn't feel that way. It just feels like they were just, like, throwing shit at the wall.
And something about, like, someone said this in Clubhouse. I mean, this just, like, gets into a wormhole of shit I don't know enough about. But, you know, it made me think of, like, Paramount took the awards, right? And CBS had the performance part of it, the concert, the Broadway is Back concert. And, like, that got me thinking about streaming advertisers and the money that's going through and, like, how actors get paid and crew get paid less on streaming productions than network productions, and that's why Paramount got the shit that no one actually really wants to watch outside of theater, because it's not well done, not because it, you know, it could matter. It's just not, in my opinion, well done. And I just got into this mire of like, yeah. And are Paramount and CBS connected networks? No, right?
Luce is nodding.
Yes. So Paramount Plus is the streaming service of Viacom CBS, and it used to be called CBS All Access, and they just sort of rebranded and I think expanded their catalog.
Got it.
That checks out. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I feel like there would be the ability to have more overlap given that they're owned by the same entity, but I don't know. Across Clubhouse, we got into conversation about, yeah, what is even the purpose of this thing? And who does it need to be appealing to? And therefore, how should the content be programmed? And who should be the stars? You know, is it trying to appeal to a broader, more pop culture audience to pull people in and maybe get them to see shows that they wouldn't have otherwise? Or is it just a little like, oh, this is for all the theater fans and like, fuck everyone else kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And so it did get me thinking about like sort of like goals of these broadcasts and goals of these things, which if CBS is owning the rights, like it's pretty clear. Like they just want as many eyeballs as possible to sell advertisements against. That's how that whole business model works.
Yep.
And to all the recommendations and thoughts and feelings that people had on Clubhouse about like easy ways to make it more accessible and just easier for people who, like me, have no real sense of what any of this stuff actually is or means.
But are like likely to be inspired by the power of theater, mm-hmm. and therefore maybe go see something in your local town after you see the Tonys or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. But instead, had I watched it, I'm assuming I'd be like kind of confused. Like, who are these people and why do I care?
Honestly,
except for like maybe a few clips that'll make it my way of the FLS performance at right. the end and that sort of stuff.
Something Emily said, I think it resonated for me here, which was like my eternal, as Joe knows, like disdain for collaborative leadership. Like I love collaboration, right? I'm an artist first and foremost. So collaboration is on the table. But when you're trying to lead a business or an institution, I do believe in the power of hierarchy, right? Like it has to stop somewhere. Someone has to have the final say, even if they listen and take all of these suggestions. And something Emily said in Clubhouse is like, how can you even fucking have goals if no one owns this thing? Right? Because Emily's point was like, there's the contingency of sea of producers and then the Broadway League and the American Theater Wing and CBS, like you just said, and like, it's just like murder by too many chefs in the kitchen, right? With no, like, if there isn't a, where does the fuck does the buck stop? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Who owns that? If that is a catastrophe, who gets fired or maligned or whatever? No
right.
one.
You can't have goals and you can't meet those goals, right? In the situation that the Tonys are in.
Yeah. What is that? A horse designed by committee?
Ooh, I don't know that one.
No.
That's like, terrible.
It's like yeah, a horse designed by committee is a camel because you're just like, oh, it'd be great to have this and it would be great to have that. So the Tonys is the camel of the award shows or all award shows, you know, similar to this. And I don't watch many other award shows anyway.
It's such I couldn't help but think, I think because Okay, actually, let me go back and say this. I brought up on Clubhouse that I think it's worth, I don't know the answer, but I think it's worth examining where the tradition of putting award shows on a broadcast came from, what role they played in the 40s or 50s, right? 50s, 60s, when that really started, I think. I mean, I know it was on TV earlier, but I think that's like when I could be really wrong about this, but I think that's when they got popular. And whether that's even relevant anymore, right? And to that end, like, it makes me think that now, in that line of questioning, what does an award show mean? This is pretty close to, like, the opportunity is pretty close to the kind of stuff we do on the internet, right? It's this moment to inspire through non-scripted, like, you know what I mean? All the elements of, like, what is really cool about a bulleted live moment or around a nonprofit or a theater or a brand even, there's something so special in the opportunity you can make with that moment. And I think that's there for the Tonys right now. And it makes me, as someone who loves theater so much, so sad that it is such a missed opportunity and maybe is just going to, like, fucking go away because everybody's just grinding it into the ground.
Yeah, CBS is not going to renew their contract to distribute it.
No.
And then it's going to be on, like, Netflix, maybe. I don't know, someone that has money to throw at it.
Netflix doesn't do live stuff.
Maybe they're going that direction. They've got 4.5, 5 years to figure it out.
That's true.
I was thinking something similar, and I'll try to tie it back around to what you were just saying, because yours is more thoughtful than mine.
Nope, please.
Which was kind of connected to, like, the controversy of, like, all the nominations for Slave Play, but not a single win. Like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And it just got me thinking about, like, these committees who are actually voting on these things and who are those voting members. And, like, I feel like this is controversy across all award shows and all sort of, like, credentialing of art or of sort of media and entertainment. It's like, who cares what these people think? Right? It's like, it's tied into, like, yeah, the credentialing and then the touting of said credentials and then the driving of additional ticket sales in theory. But, like, what if award shows went the direction of, like, whose line is it anyway? Like the American version, where they're just like, the points don't matter. It's like, these people
that would not matter. Amazing.
And instead, like, it became, you know, the Tonys or any of these award shows become a celebration of that year's content, the new things that were created, the new stars that were born, the interesting things that happened as a result of the art that was made. And, like, it's almost a little bit participation trophy-y, like everybody gets awarded. But you sort of, like, take the power out of the hands of that body that, like, maybe at one point in time, like, it was somehow, you know, valuable to have this credentialed body sort of awarding people. But, like, who cares? Like, we've got Twitter. We've got, you know, people on podcasts sharing their opinions. We've got 100 million people that all have opinions about these things. And, like, I feel like pop culture sentiment does settle around certain shows and certain pieces of art.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. In a way that, like, we don't necessarily need those critics. And, like, are they there just because they have been there and just because they are continuing to be there? And the sort of institutionalists are like, no, we want to keep this intact because it's part of our power structure.
So many things. Here's the deal with this, right? We talked about this a little bit on Clubhouse, but, like, award shows are businesses. They aren't real. It costs, Emily was talking about how much money it costs to get to perform on the Tonys. It costs money to buy your Tony if you win. I was speaking,
I know that game.
Yeah.
Freaking tellies.
Yeah, exactly. I was speaking with a friend who is in a film right now that's getting a lot of Oscar buzz, and her co-star is definitely being mentioned for an Oscar. And my friend has been mentioned in a couple of articles as a potential contender. And I asked her about it. And she was like, oh, no, like, this co-star is mounting a campaign and I don't have the money for that, or, like, the institutional backing from the agents or A24 is the film distribution company. They're financing the male leads campaign for an Oscar. You don't get nominated for an Oscar.
You buy your Oscar.
Without money, right? It's fucking stupid. And then on top of that, like, to your point about, like, just invalidating this body, they're not critics. They are people who work in our industry who, I will tell you, as a 10-year employee of Joe Allen Restaurant, go to half of the show and then leave and come to dinner, or don't go at all. So they don't even have actual, not everybody, clearly, by the way, I know a lot of you are amazing and you go see these shows and I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart.
Me too.
But a lot of people don't. It's not, it doesn't, award shows don't mean anything. They are a construct, period, the end.
Maybe we need a campaign against award shows generally.
Well, they're not going to go away because there's too much money in it.
Well, that's if we can get people to stop watching them.
I think that's already happened.
Yeah, I guess they're doing that work for me.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to make this show bad.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, I guess, really, that's like to be diagnosed and figured out, right, is the Grammys are not bad. The Grammys are badass. And in fact, funny enough, with the advent of social media, I like had a bunch of friends at the Grammys taping and getting to see backstage backstage and front of stage too for production. And only having ever seen it on TV, I was like, oh my God, I actually like really want to go to the Grammys. That looks so cool in person. Like, that's the exact formula I'm looking for. Put it on that television and then give everybody a little taste of what it would be like to be in person. The Grammys are great. The Kennedy Center Honors, which we talked about a lot today in Clubhouse, super fun. The MTV Movie Awards, entertaining show. It is a thing, that whole thing from top to bottom is so fun. It has personality, the like interstitials that go into awards and stuff. Like, it has this vibe and this like attitude, right? What the fuck, Tonys? It has no point of view except theater is good.
I've heard that before, that theater is good.
I'm about as mad as Emily was today. Yeah. In Clubhouse.
I want to double down on my uninformed perspective. So one, thank you for the additional information about how these things work, because I just genuinely don't know, which is, you know, part and parcel with this podcast and Clubhouse generally.
Yeah, solid.
But like, let's go further. You can make more money if anyone can pay to play. I guess like the credibility falls apart, but it's like the only thing is who is paying for that advertising for that spot.
Oh my God. Then you're like, now you've gotten us into equity because they just opened it up to everybody. And
yeah, just buy your way onto TV. And I think like if the show, to your point, is interesting, right? If someone is like, here's the theme for this year, like, right, Met Gala style. And then everyone is just like buying their way into it with their kind of creative version of that theme.
Oh my God. You know, the only people who could make sense of that mess for the broadcast?
You.
Us.
It'd be amazing.
It would be amazing.
It would be a hodgepodge of craziness. I have no idea. I love it. I love it. I hate it. Let's make our own award show to compete with all these award shows.
That's where my brain went.
Because that's never been done before.
Yeah, exactly.
Award shows stink. What was it like? I feel like in, I don't know, when there's like standards in like, you know, USB versus USB-C versus USB micro, or whatever. It's like, we need a universal standard that works with all of these things.
Yeah.
And then what happens is, like, instead of having 13 standards, you have 14 standards.
Damn it.
That's going to be it.
We need an
award show to win all award shows. It's just another dumb thing competing for attention.
Can I ask a question back to your very first thing that you brought up?
No. Next question.
Okay. Just going to sit here till our time runs out.
I would love. What's your question?
What initially attracted you, not knowing anything about like this maybe good idea of splitting something across two different networks? Is there a version of this, take the Tonys and theater and just throw it aside, keep me not angry for about 5 minutes? What version of that works for something like this? What is a good world? What would have the outcome been if you had been like, oh, rad, this is as cool as I thought maybe it would be?
Yeah, I think, well, let's set some ground rules, right? The show is interesting.
Yeah.
at least thoughtfully designed.
Oh man, we are just going hard today.
I love, I'm like shitting on a thing that I literally did not watch. This is like second and third party rage on my part. It's just fun to, you know, yell about things on the internet. Here
good.
We are.
Solid.
So yeah, let's assume that the show is good. Let's assume that there are people in and or adjacent to the show that are interesting in some way to me specifically, because I think that's where I'm going to go with this right now.
Okay.
It's almost a la the Erykah Badu model for drumming up and creating sort of excitement for her live like live stream things that she was doing over the pandemic, where she's like, hey, I'm going to jump onto Instagram Live for a second and drive people real time from this one thing over here mm-hmm. to this other place that I want them to be consuming, watching, hanging, whatever. And so that was her driving from Instagram to this platform, Maestro, where she was doing these interactive live performances. And I see a world like that for this, mm-hmm. where it's like, there is the TV broadcast, because you can't let go of those dollars yet. But then there is whatever this digital version of a broadcast is that I can pop into as, you know, someone who doesn't have a TV or doesn't have cable. I know CBS is not cable. Leave me alone. And I can easily pop into it for as much or as little as I want. And it's come a little bit closer to me as someone who is not Tony's adjacent even. I mean, I guess I am Tony's adjacent, but whatever, you get my point.
Yeah, totally.
And so I'm like, you know, dicking around on my phone, watching stupid things on Instagram or TikTok or Twitter or wherever. And someone gives me a little insight into what's happening actually, whether it's backstage, like you were talking about with the Grammys, mm-hmm. or it's just some clip that was cut and posted that I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. What's happening? And I like kind of get pulled into it real time. Like, I'm into that world. Mm. Especially like, I knew the Tonys was happening. I was on my phone around the time the Tonys was happening, but I never would have made the leap to watch the Tonys on CBS or Paramount Plus. I mean, especially not Paramount Plus. I'm not paying for a thing that I don't even care about watching. But had there been something that made its way to me through whatever various social media channels, and obviously, like, this isn't going to work for everyone. Like, not everyone is going to be hooked in because of this, but mm-hmm. it's sort of like a wider distribution model on the assumption that we're all consuming things anyway. And what you're trying to do is catch just enough attention in that moment, because we're all on screens and devices at that time anyway. So if you take the universe of like, who's everyone that's on a device at that moment, how do we like get to as many of those people who might be tangentially interested in this show, whether it be because of Jake Gyllenhaal isn't on the Tonys, or like, you know, someone who sort of bridges the gap from the traditional sector that is presented by the Tonys, Broadway and theater, to everything else that's adjacent to and a bit more pop culture, a la Jake Gyllenhaal and Spider-Man. And he was in the Spider-Man movies. Or at least one of them, Tom Holland. Love Tom Holland. So yeah, maybe Tom Holland is talking about his bro, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh, Tom Holland, you're so funny. Maybe I'll go check this out.
I'm just happy someone else is talking crazy, not me this time.
I think this is a great idea.
No, okay, wait, but this is what it makes me think of. You know how in our work, we are frequently talking about, we're adding another step to a funnel, right? There is free theater-based shit on social media, and then there's a giant gap to moving someone toward being a paying ticket holder for an in-person show. And so for us, we know adding that middle step, which is live theatrical events on the internet, is a middle part of a funnel that is already proven outside of our own work to like shepherd people toward being more likely to be an in-person ticket holder. Something we talk about a lot in our work, obviously, is that while we know investing in this does pay dividends, like, where do those budgets come from for arts teams who are getting grants 2 or 3 years out? And, you know, usually they're not for technology. Where's the extra people to do that work, right? And so the way that you're talking about this like makes me go down a terrible existential rabbit hole, where, because now, like, kind of the way you're talking about it is, and I know we're talking about a network and not a nonprofit arts org, but CBS is treating Paramount Plus as our like live, basically just like 10 steps to the funnel. There's like people who don't know anything about theater. There's some free shit on social media about theater. There's the Paramount Plus that's then the next step up that's driving people to the actual big show on CBS that drives someone to buy an in-person ticket. And that takes so much money and resource. And where does it end? Like, you just keep inventing like platforms,
just layers and layers and layers, yeah. And fragmentation. I feel like that's like the one of the things that like the tech sector is known for. It's like you create a solution for a problem that creates five more problems, yeah. That need five more solutions.
Yeah. We're garbage humans, you know. Oh man.
So Tom Holland, if you're into this idea.
Wait, no, but talk to me. What do you think about that? Like, where does that go?
Which part?
The Tom Holland part. Just kidding.
Like the fact that this just costs a lot of money to
Is it even worth fucking talking about? Yeah. Like, what use is that? Like, does that, and what is the end? What could possibly be the end game for CBS to like invest in making Paramount Plus their, or any network's streaming platform that's a different brand? They're like mid three quarters of the way through funnel. Like, yeah, stop. Well,
maybe there's multiple hits on this funnel, multiple wins, right? Because Paramount Plus is not just for streaming the Tonys. It's a whole subscription service.
You don't know me.
For a whole bunch of things. And so maybe getting someone to spend $7.99 on Paramount Plus. No idea how much it actually is, but that number feels right. If it's any more than that, it's not worth it.
I think it's $4.99 actually, because I definitely got Paramount Plus to watch Drag Race and then canceled it.
Nice. Maybe I need it for Survivor though. So yeah, Paramount Plus, if you'd like to sponsor this podcast by giving us each a subscription for free, that's more than enough. But that, like, there's other sort of revenue streams tied in. And like one specifically I was thinking about was that I feel like since the dawn of like the cable news era, it's been about filling time with content as opposed to finding time for content. So like all the news that's fit to print, right? It's like the New York Times has to make editorial decisions about what it includes because it is physically restricted in like the number of pages that you can like reasonably fill with stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of stuff that does not make the cut. Mm-hmm. But then like cable news, I don't know how much you watch cable news. I used to really like it as a kid. It just like fucking repeats itself all day long because a 24-hour news network has to program for 24 hours. And it's like difficult to create content for that medium, right? Like it has to be scripted up a little bit and you have to have the live human there talking about it, whatever, whatever. So I feel like part of the model in like the 24-hour news network model is like, what are we talking about today? And like every day you hit reset on that button and it's like scramble to find more stuff to talk about, reset. So what if these shows and or these networks are sort of like in the business of creating things for people to talk about, kind of what they're already doing, but that gets like built explicitly into the talent and other people that they're attracting. It's like, we are somehow either creating or giving you the rights to create from this like starting point, this like
nook and cranny. Is that right?
I don't even know if that's what I, kernel. I was looking for kernel.
Oh, whoa.
From this kernel of an idea to then have things to post about, talk about, to continue to drive
like the TikTok remix
the cycle
kind situation. Of,
yeah. But it's just like, it's giving people who need things to talk about, a la celebrities on the internet. Like they need to post things every day to keep their fans in. Like it's a little bit of pageantry here, but like that being somehow part of the driving model. So a la like people are paying the Tonys to perform at the Tonys. Uh-huh. And, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal or Tom Holland or whomever is agreeing to be part of the Tonys for the sort of massive output of content that could in theory come from it. So it like gets worked into whatever contractual obligations that they have. So the work itself then gets distributed out through the teams that are representing the Jake Gyllenhaals and the Tom Hollands. And the trade-off is like you somehow get access that you wouldn't have otherwise to create this content that you want and or need for engaging your fans, putting stuff on social media, whatever.
Big money. It's got to be big money. But I mean, it just sounds to me like a different version of what we do with the Give Back concert, right? Which is if you're performing, you or someone that doesn't make, isn't on stage, is making videos for us and appearing in interview. So that become content in the concert.
And Yeah. And I think with this would have to be a like an acceptance of the quality of the content, not being all like you were describing as like very professionally pre-produced. I'm not sure how exactly that works. So there's one potential huge flaw in my plan.
Yeah.
But that the content, it has to be cheaper and easier to make and like being able to be made by many different teams while still retaining some sort of brand identity. Maybe that's an impossible task.
I will say, just to like round us out, I think this is really interesting that this is where this conversation came to, because I kept thinking during Clubhouse today and before Clubhouse, what a miss that the Tonys didn't do any riff on or capitalize on that crazy Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell video. Did you see that? Where they did Mika?
I have no idea what this is.
Oh my God. I will show it to you in a minute, but
get at the internet.
For the podcast, I read a really interesting article that was like, of course Ryan Reynolds sings. He sings. They sing Mika together. And of course he sings. Like, this is not a secret. Like, lots of actors came from theater and dance. Like, we even know Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. It was Ryan Reynolds, not Ryan Gosling, right? Is it Ryan Gosling? I think I got my Ryans different. No, it was Reynolds. Yeah. Anyway, like, what a miss. Because to your Tom Holland point, like, surely those two are friends with someone who was on that fucking Tony's broadcast, and their platforms have such the power to, like, drive interest towards the Tonys. So all I'm saying is, fuck all the missed opportunities. If you're not totally hating us because we just crapped all over the Tonys, but out of love, call us. We can help.
So much love. So much love. So yeah. Hit us up. Tell us what you think. The conversations around conversations about conversations only happen if you keep the chain going. So join the conversation with us on Twitter. You can tweet at us at BWY Unlocked and use that hashtag TechTheaterCH to share your thoughts.
And of course, join our next conversation Tuesday at 12:55 Eastern on Clubhouse. Raise your hand, jump in, get on stage with us and share your thoughts.
And if you'd like to join the Broadway Unlocked family, you can follow and be part of our club on Clubhouse, and you can even come host your own show if you'd like. So visit broadwayunlocked.com/ch and you can pitch your idea.
Every single topic we've talked about in Clubhouse and on this podcast has been inspired by the articles we read each week in our Slack and the people that appear and speak on our stage. So please tweet us at hashtag TechTheaterCH, say hi on the tweets, and join in the conversation. Until then, see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Would you just get us out of this, please?